नायादिदं आग्रासन भविष्यदतो निभानात् आनुमितं अन्तरत्वयि विभाति मृषैकरासे आता उपामियते द्रविण जाति विकल्प पातायर वितातमानो विलसमृतम् इत्यवयन्त्य बुद्धः. Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. Since this universe did not exist prior to its creation and will no longer exist after its annihilation, we conclude that in the interim it is nothing more than a manifestation, imagine, to be visible within you, whose spiritual enjoyment never changes. We liken this universe to the transformation of various material substances into diverse forms. Certainly those who believe that this figment of the imagination is substantially real are less intelligent. Having thus defeated all attempts of the ritualists to prove the substantial reality of material creation, the personified Vedas now present positive evidence to the contrary, that this world is unreal and that it is temporary. Before the creation of the universe and after its dissolution, only the spiritual reality of the Supreme Lord along with his abode and entourage continue to exist. The Shrutis confirm this. Atma va idham eka eva gra asit. So, who is the Shrutis as referred to in here? Personified Vedas. Very nice. So I'm going to be asking you questions. What you heard? Please listen carefully. Prior to the creation of this universe, only the Self existed. Who is the Self as mentioned here? Krishna. It's a capital S, it's Krishna. Aitareya Upanishad 1.1. Na sat asin na sat asit tadhanim. At that time, neither the subtle nor the gross aspects of matter were present. One can understand the relativity of creation by an analogy. When basic materials like clay and metal are processed and shaped into various products, the created objects exist separately from the clay and metal, only in name and form. This basic substance remains unchanged. Like, for example, from a clay, one can make a clay pot. Then the same clay which is the pot which is made out of the mud, we don't call it mud. We call it clay and we call it a pot. But it's the same ingredients. And the difference between the mud and the clay is that the clay and the pot and the mud is that the pot can hold the water, but the clay can't hold the water. That is the difference. So it's mentioned here, from one object you can make another object, but it is defined by its name only. But then once the clay is broken, it merges back into mud. That's how it's explained. So similarly, material energy is temporary. From our body is composed of matter, which comes from, or you can call, as the scientists call it, chemicals. So the chemicals, we get it from the material energy. But when we die, when we give up this body, the body merges or it becomes chemical again, as we call it. Let's explain here. The basic substance remains unchanged. Similarly, when the energies of the Supreme Lord are transformed into the known things of this world, these things exist separately from Him only in name and form. In the Chandogya Upanishad, the sage Undalaka explains a similar analogy to his son. For example, my dear boy, by understanding a single lump of clay, one can understand everything made from clay. The existence of transformed products is only a creation of language. a matter of assigning designations, declare alone is real. In conclusion, there is no convincing evidence that the things of this world are eternal or substantial, while there is overwhelming evidence that they are temporary and conditioned by false designations. Therefore, only the ignorant can take the imaginary permutations of matter to be real. Srila Sridhara Swami prays, Mukuta kundala kankana kinkini parinatam kanakam paramartataha mahat ahankrit tika pramukam tata narahareer na param paramartataha. Transformation of gold such as crowns, earrings, bangles and ankles, bells are not ultimately separate from gold itself. Similarly, the material elements headed by the Mahat, false ego and ether are not ultimately separate from Lord Narahari. Narahari. So who is Narahari? It's mentioned here. Yes. Sridhar Swami, he is the original commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam. Before any other commentators, before even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, any other commentator, Sridhar Swami is the original Bhagavatam commentator. And he was Nrisimha Bhakta, he was a devotee of Lord Nrisimhadev. His Nrisimhadev is known as Paramananda Nrisimha, which means supremely blissful Nrisimhadev. Usually Nrisimhadev is very angry. But his worshipable Lord is Paramananda. It is supremely blissful. Shrimadev. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shulakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapranantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana, Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana, Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shah, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devin Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Vastachade Shatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So actually our Nrisimhadev in the altar here in one of the shalgram is he's sitting on the Ananta Singhasa, Ananta Shesh is actually pointing out. We call him Paramananda Nrisimha. It's after Sridhar Swami's Nrisimhadev. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, he tells to Arjuna, equipped with transcendental knowledge, one must cut the attachment of this material world. With the sword of transcendental knowledge, one must cut the attachment. This knowledge is to understand the nature of this world and to understand the nature of the supreme or the spiritual world. And who is the controller of both the spiritual energy and material energy and us? That is the definition of knowledge. It's to know who, what is matter, what is spirit, and the controller of both. That is true knowledge. So when Krishna says to Arjuna, with transcendental knowledge, one must cut the attachment of this world. We should understand the nature of this world. The nature of this world is that, and that is why Srimad Bhagavatam is so beautiful, is so wonderful. Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful because, as mentioned in the early chapters of Bhagavatam, Dharma Projita Kaita Vatra Paramananda, Dharma Projita Kaita Vatra Paramananda, Nirmatsaranam Satam. Dharma Projita, that Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam destroys any sort of cheating propensity. It doesn't talk anything about cheating propensity. Some scriptures tells us how to enjoy in this world. Some scriptures tells us how to enjoy in the other heavenly world. But some scripture tells us how to merge into the Supreme Brahman or the Brahman effulgence. But it doesn't fully describe the nature of this world. But Srimad Bhagavatam gives its clarity, the nature of this world. What is this world? In this particular chapter, in this particular verse, destroys the concept of materialistic enjoyment. It tells us the nature of this material world, that it's not a place for enjoyment. But at the same time, one should not misunderstand this. One should not think that this material world is an illusion, that it is false. It is an illusion, but it is not false. There are some philosophers, they say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. Brahma Satyam means that the spirit is truth, and Jagan Mitya means that matter is false. But Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't entertain this kind of concept. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't entertain. Yes, we accept that this spirit is truth, but we do not accept that the matter is false. That we do not accept. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't entertain such ideas. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that this matter is not false. It is true, but it is temporary. Like the other day, I was discussing this with Uddhava. Uddhava, 2 days ago or so. I was saying, like for example, you have a toy. You can't say the toy is false. You want to drive a car with toy. You can't say the car is false. The toy car is false. No. That means that's a sign of less than a child. Because at least the child can recognize the toy, and it is real. And so the child can appreciate and play with it. But if a person says, well, the car is not real, it is false, then you're less intelligent than a child. At least the child can understand, accept, yes, it's a toy, and play with it. But at the same time, with that toy, it can't get you from one destination to another destination. So you can't go inside a toy and expect, okay, now I'm going to go to Sydney with it. Or I'm going to go to Brisbane with this toy. That's also foolish. Well, you can. If you're a child, you think, okay, at least I can make a place which is known as Brisbane or Adelaide, but may not go to Brisbane as such. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to educate us. Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to make us understand that this material world is real. It is real. But the concept that we can enjoy in this world, the concept that we can live eternally, the concept that this is real, for in the sense that that this is all in all, that is wrong. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam tries to educate us. That we should not have wrong concept, we should not have wrong idea. What is this world? And this is what Krishna explains to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explained to Arjuna that we can't actually Yes, Arjuna wanted to run away from the battlefield. He wanted to go into the forest. But Krishna says, this is understood to be false renunciation. We should understand the nature of this world, and according to the propensity, one must act. This is the Bhagavad teaching. So when one is equipped with this transcendental knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, fully equipped, one can understand fully, and one can even apply it fully, then with such transcendental sort of knowledge, one can cut the material attachment. We understand the nature of this world. Like for example, people are looking for security, people are looking for peaceful environment. But is it ever going to happen in this world, really speaking? Can you really look for a peaceful environment in this world? Can you really look for security in this world? Can you really look for pleasure in this world? Unfortunately, the reality is that we can't. We cannot. America is known to be the most secure country at one stage. But then look at it. Look at the history, what the history tells us. History tells that some persons from Middle East was able to penetrate inside American defense and cause a whole terrorist attack. Why America was considered more secure? Because it was out of many, many other countries where there were disturbances. So that's why it was understood that America was very secure in that way. But now, look at the lives of people living in America. It's constant anxiety, constant fear. America is understood to be first world country. It's understood to be most developed country. But look at it. There is no security. There's another hand that's full of fear. That's full of insecurity. People are anxious. Oh, when will the next terrorist attack happen? Or when will the bank crash again? So in this way we can understand that the hopes of living in this world, that we want to be eternal, that we want to be happy, that we want to be secured and all this, is destroyed, is frustrated. Because that is the nature of this world. Krishna explains, that is the nature. But nevertheless, Krishna also educates us. There is another world. That world is the spiritual world, where I exist. If you come to my abode, you will attain my nature. Krishna, he is eternal. He is supreme eternal. And Krishna, he is supreme blissful. Bliss. And he is fully conscious. So, being part and parcel of Krishna, when we become obedient to Krishna, when we are subservient to Krishna's understanding, then we can take on the nature of Krishna. We can be eternal, blissful. Why do we attain our eternal existence? Because we are relating with Krishna. When we relate with Krishna, Krishna who is eternal, when we relate with Krishna, immediately such relationship or devotional process becomes eternal. And so you also have to exist eternally. You have to exist eternally. And the nature of this devotional service is so wonderful that not only gives pleasure to Krishna, it also gives you the pleasure. And such devotional service gives you true knowledge. You become aware of Krishna's creation. Who Krishna is, Krishna's creation and so forth. And how to relate with him. This is the beauty. So here we can appreciate the prayers of the personified Vedas. They're sincerely trying to pray to Krishna. Trying to educate us also. personified as Vedas are trying to educate us. Listen, my dear friends. Listen, my dear brothers, so sisters, and so forth. Please understand the nature of this world. Krishna is the only refuge. That is the whole point. The personified Vedas describe the nature of this world such a way to educate us. Actually, Krishna is the only way. And we should actually try to take refuge of Krishna. Yes, initially we have setbacks. We may have difficulties because we are living in real world. We may have difficulties struggling with the senses, struggling with the mind, because that is the that shows that we are actually existing really. We are not imagining things. We are not only dreaming about things, but actually we are actually experiencing the reality of the material world. We are actually experiencing it. There are setbacks. Devotional service becomes difficult. Krishna consciousness becomes difficult. Relationship with devotees becomes very difficult. Appreciating good qualities of devotees become very, very difficult. Yes, we must recognize, yes, these are my difficulties. We should not overlook it. We should recognize, yes, these are my difficulties. Yes, I'm going to struggle. But somehow or other, I have to stick around. I have to follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Follow Srimad Bhagavatam. Because after all, Srimad Bhagavatam is not educating us things which could be, or maybe, or perhaps. No, Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting things as it is, as in its real form. But it just takes time for us to tune our intelligence, tune our understanding. So that's why best thing is somehow or other, whatever inspires you in Krishna consciousness, hang on to it. If we are not inspired in any aspect of Krishna consciousness, the automatic reaction is that we'll be inspired by material nature. Material and nature will inspire us to dive into the material existence. That is why, even if we have setbacks, we have difficulties in Krishna consciousness, it is important for us to see where our taste lies in Krishna consciousness. Yes, I like eating prasadam, so just continue eating prasadam. There's nothing wrong. Yes, I like dancing in kirtan. Yes, so dance in the kirtan. Yes, I like speaking with devotees and getting their understanding, getting their help. Do that. And if we continuously do that, we slowly gain our taste back into devotional life. Actually, devotional service is so wonderful. Any side you bite, or any side you actually perform, any departments you perform in devotional service, that's the nature of devotional service, it gives you bliss. But the unfortunate condition is that we are in jaundiced condition. Like when I was small, I had jaundice. I said, at least in Gurukula, I said, I had jaundice. Some boys really had jaundice. But then I said, oh, I'm really sick, I got a fever, I wanted to get away. Because I saw my friends were having good treatment for being sick. Instead, we had to eat khichdi breakfast. And nothing else. Or we had to eat bitter melon or some boiled sabji, that's it. So I was thinking, I'm sick, I can't do this, I can't do that. And so I made an excuse that I had jaundice, because they would send the Gurukul boys away to householders' families' house. And they cook really nice prasadam. So I said, I had jhandas. So they sent me over to the householder's house. And I stayed there for 1 month, free from gurukul anxiety. Ate prasadam fully, slept nicely. In fact, sleeping in Mayapur is like paying obeisances, it's devotional service. Eating prasadam, you know, he's not eating karmi food. And sometimes the householder will say, oh, can I please get... they say, oh, are you feeling better? No, I'm very sick. And then they go, well, I was thinking to get some prasadam from the big kitchen. Big kitchen is where everyone comes in. Villagers, everyone comes in, so they give very, very simple prasadam. Fat rice and so forth, which for me is... I can't stand it. So I said, oh no, no, I'm very sick, I'll get more sick. So they have to cook 12 preparation of prasadam. And then I go, yes, this is very nice. So the conditioned living entities, they experience a disease called jaundice. Jaundice is such that when one eats sweet, so when I was eating sweet, I was like, oh, this is not good for me, but I was relishing it with it. So I was eating so much sweet. So they had to bring sweets from the Maha shop, double cream, paneer cake, custard cake, and then shrikhand, and so forth. So, when one is in jaundice, when one eats the sweet tastes bitter. So I was like, oh, this is very bitter. And I was eating it with great relishment. But the cure for jaundice is one has to take sugar. Though it tastes bitter, one has to take sugar. By taking sugar, one can cure jaundice. That is it. So, our present situation may be that we may have difficulty in devotional life. Oh, this is very, very tough. Oh, I'm not getting any taste. So my recommendation is, yes, I'm attracted to material energy because there is party, there is dance, there is food. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, yad karoshi, yad jashnashi, yad juhoshi, tadashi, yad tapasyasi konteya, tad purusha madarpana. Whatever you do, yes, I like to party. So, Krishna's recommendation is param drishna nivartate, that one has to experience the higher taste. So instead of partying outside world, why don't you do party in Krishna consciousness? That is known as sankirtan party. You like to dance? Fair enough. You like to dance in a pub? What we are saying is, you don't have to take alcohol. You just drink mango juice and dance in the kirtan in the temple. Or you like to eat fancy food? Okay. What we are just saying is, just wait. When Achintya Rupa Maharaji finishes her cooking, and just go and rob the kitchen and eat prasadam. That's what Krishna is explaining. You accept, you relish Krishna's prasadam, you dance in kirtan. Otherwise, if we do not find any taste in devotional service, we will automatically be will accept the glaring beautiful material energy. Material energy is beautiful. Why? Because she is related with Krishna. She is Krishna's energy. In fact, she is understood to be Krishna's sister. So we should not misunderstand. We should think, yes, Krishna's material energy is beautiful. But we should understand, yes, she is so beautiful, but actually I do not know how to relate with her nicely. Because when I relate with her, I get kicked like a donkey. You know, whether male donkey is after the female donkey. She, and then she gives him a good kick. The male donkey gets a good lesson, so, but nevertheless, doesn't learn. Still goes for the she donkey, and then she donkey gives him another good kick. Bang! On the face. So, as devotees, we should understand, yes, Maya, you're very, very beautiful. I appreciate you, but I can't relate with you nicely because I'm not very powerful. Actually, Krishna is more powerful. You belong to Krishna. You should relate with Krishna. This is how a devotee should think. So, somehow or other, if we can try to see where we have our taste in devotional service and relish that, and slowly, slowly develop it. Even things we may not relish in devotional service, like reading Shastra, or listening to devotees, or so forth, we should try to earnestly, sincerely accept. It may be difficult, accept it. Acknowledge it at least. Acknowledge it. Yes, I am going to follow. At this present, I'm facing difficulties. Now I have to see where my real taste is. So, just be fixed in that portion of devotional service. Slowly, slowly, such portion of devotional service, like chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or dancing, or eating prasadam, that will purify us. By such purification, we can appreciate other limbs of devotional service, which are fully nectarian, which are fully spiritually sweet. By slowly grasping this other portion of devotional service, then the disease which is deep-rooted within our hearts will be cleansed. This jaundice will go away. And then our real devotional life will really come fully blossom. So this is why the personified Vedas describe the nature of this material world. Personified Vedas describe the nature of this material world not to bring about a negative understanding like the Gyanis do, oh, this material nature is false, but to encourage us to love Krishna, to somehow connect ourselves with devotional life. Somehow or other, connect ourselves with devotional service. You like Harinam? Yeah, go for it. You like Prasadam? Go for it. This is actually the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood, like as explained in Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita, Yad Karoshi, Yad Dashnashi, Yad Juhoshi, Dadashiya. Whatever you eat, do it as an offering to Krishna. Whatever you work, you do it for Krishna. Similarly, whatever austerities you like to perform, do it for Krishna. Some people may not appreciate prasadam. Some people may not appreciate sankirtan and so forth. They like austerity. Yes, 2 o'clock morning, mangalarti, chant 16 rounds beforehand, and wear a chadar in winter season. I'm not saying me. I'm used to it because I do so much deity service. But there are some people, they just like to wear chadar, or they like to wear wooden shoes. And hit, you know, at one point in Gurukul, we had to wear wooden shoes. And from Gurukul to the temple, it was like 5-10 minutes walk. And the road is not mud, it's not smooth, it's rocky. So you wear the wooden shoes, and it's dark, there's no light, you can't see. You're walking, and jackals are howling. And then the ghosts are there on the trees, who knows. And there were bobcats when I was 5, you know, they go for small children. So you had to wear the shoes, click, 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 and then there's snakes in there and the cobras and so forth. You wear the shoes to scare the snakes away, but the There are a good side of it, but the other side of it is that you hit the rock in winter time. You don't wear socks. You wear those shoes that you hit the rock and you get a big blister on your feet. So whatever austerities you like to perform, you can do it as an offering to Krishna. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood the nature of Kali Yuga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that we are not creatures to perform austerities. We are not persons we can perform intense austerities. That is for Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. You know. Such facilities are offered for the other yugas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just told us we should chant Krishna's name, eat Krishna's prasadam, dance. That is how we can actually experience spiritual taste. In this age of Kali, not the austerities. Austerities will not purify our heart. In fact, I've seen many people who were very, very austere, but they haven't grown up. In fact, they have embraced the material energy somehow. But what Krishna is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recommending is that one should chant the holy name, which is the most essential spiritual substance. Once Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked, "What is the most important aspect of devotional service?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately answered, "The chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." That is the most important limb of devotional service. So somehow we should try to see where our taste lies in spiritual life and take it. We may have difficulty in chanting, we may have difficulty in honoring prasadam. But if you like devotee sangha, hang with devotees. Hang around with devotees. Talk about Krishna with devotees. Then naturally, by Krishna's mercy, one will gain taste in other aspects of devotional service like prasadam, like chanting and so forth. I know when I was small, the reason I joined Krishna consciousness is not because I like prasadam. Actually, I hated prasadam. I didn't like prasadam. I mean, in temple prasadam. My mom makes really nice, but when I went into temple, I didn't like it so much. But what I like is, I like the friendship with the small boys in the temple. And I like chanting. I like to chant, and I like the deities. So, though I didn't like one portion of devotional service, but because I somehow stuck into the other aspects of devotional service, then naturally, eventually, I also gained taste for prasadam. In fact, in Gurukul, we would wake up early morning. Not for Mangalarti, but for Mangalarti sweets. We would go in Prabhupada Samadhi and steal all the four burpees, rasmalai and sandesh and kheer, and then with one or two of us, we would go hiding and eating prasadam. And then the other boys, they would wake up a little later, they would go into Prabhupada Samadhi to get their milk sweets. But then they get to know that some other group of us came earlier and took the milk switch. And then later on, some boys, they complained to teachers, and they were making a big thing about it. And then later on, why didn't Rajesh come for breakfast? Why didn't this boy come for breakfast? And if we got in trouble, we had to clean the toilets. because we have attachment in one portion of devotional service, and such devotional service purifies us that we'll naturally get attached to other portion of devotional service, though we may not experience the taste for it. Like Uddhava's only business is go into the kitchen and raid the kitchen and eat prasadam. And he's a good friend of mine, he would also bring some good amount of prasadam for me. But the point is, if one has an attachment in one portion of devotional service, then naturally we will develop Krishna bhakti. We will develop Krishna bhakti. Again, I will explain. Vedas are pointing out the defects of this material world, not because we should look down upon the material world, but to gain love for Krishna. That is the whole point. So is there any comments or criticism? I'm sorry if God, the class went out of hand. Or any questions?
One comment.
Yes, Prabhuji.
One should ask.
Take this one.
I think my voice is loud enough in the things. One should only.
Radha Vallabha has to hear you also.
One should only enter the kitchen and steal prasadam if they're prepared to suffer the consequences. Alright, and that's the wrath of.
Some devotees.
Some devotees. But yeah. If you're prepared, then follow my action. But if you're not prepared to suffer the consequences, then stay away from the kitchen and just take a shower upstairs like with the rest of the ladies.
The point, I'm just trying to make a point to it. Not to steal. But there, once in a while it's good because it adds the flavor. Otherwise we feel bored. But the point is being that one should, if one has taste for prasadam, one should eat prasadam. That is the point.
Once I used to take a Chinchurupa samosas to Gopals and put them at the back door.
And I used to steal some of them.
No, there was a workman that every time he'd watch me, when I left the lane, he'd walk down and he'd take two samosas. And he'd steal them every morning. I thought, well, I better not stop him, you know, he's getting bizarre. Is that all right for him to do that?
Well, you have to. We have to see, you know, because these samosas are there to support the devotees, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so
I didn't know what to do, whether to stop eating the prasad or to let him keep going.
Once, maybe, it depends also on the person who makes the product. If they want to give, they can give. Because they're making money for their support in Krishna consciousness. That's how we should see it. I mean, generally we do, you know. In Gurukul, we have the Ma shop there, and they sell pizzas at 7 o'clock or so, 7:15 or so. So, straight after japa class, we fall asleep anyway. We have a good sleep in japa. Some boys, they will pretend to chant really nicely. Some Gurukul boys will pretend to chant really nicely. But, and some boys had really big bead bags, and some devotees were, wow, he's such a big devotee, big bead bag. But, you know, you would be like, oh, Hare Krishna, and touching the bead bag in his forehead and all this. And then inside, there would be mango juice or something. And then after that, go to sleep again. And then after the japa class, having a good sleep, we will take darshan of Radha Madhava. Govindam, you're such a beautiful Lord. Can't wait to eat your prasadam. Can't wait for your pizza. And suddenly we go out. And then, you know, and not only Gurukuli initiated this, but later on, the Grihasthas, the Brahmacharis, everyone started following the Gurukuli's footsteps. Yeah. They also started, they met their lines before the japa class, you know, waiting in the line for the pizzas. So they would go and crowd out that restaurant, that small marshal. So they would make a big fuss and, oh, two pizza, three pizza, oh no, five pizza, oh, one tray, and we just go coolly behind them. We just want to take one train and walk out. And meanwhile, they're still like, no, 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 no. Yeah, but you know, the principle, we were children, so we were able to escape. But when we are grown up, we understand this is to support the devotees, you know. So we will not do such a thing like that.
Well, but wasn't me, it was another person.
Yeah. So you can explain to him, you know, you can explain to him like that. But at the same time, you know, we do not encourage to go into the kitchen and steal prasadam because to make sure that everyone gets equal prasadam, equal amount. But once in a while it happens, but it's just to add flavor in it, to add the excitement to Greg, to Chintaroo Maharaji, so that they have something positive to do. Yes, Prabhuji, one last point.
I would say one thing. Prasadam in Maharaj is really wonderful.
Yes, especially if you have to eat only fat rice and chilies. I know. Gurukul, we were actually banned from eating chilies. We were not allowed to eat chilies. So we have the Matiji sweeping the Gurukul floor. So they're villagers, simple villagers. So we give them 5 rupees. So they go and get a whole 1 kg chili. And we have chilies in this pocket, chilies everywhere. And then the teachers are not looking and go. So then the teachers got to know, they're eating chilies, so they started looking into the pockets. So then we had to hide the chilies underneath the mat, inside the, wrap it around the dhoti, or tie a chadar and then tie chilies in there, so then they can't really see.
About 2 years back, we went there.
The reason is not that we like chilies, but because the restriction was there, and we like to do things which were against the authorities. So that's why we did it.
And but very nice quality fruits, big oranges, big, you know, pomegranate, and guavas. I don't know where they get from.
We know where we get our mangoes from. We have mango trees in the Gurukul, but we were banned from stealing the mangoes. So in dark night, we go up, we go steal the mangoes from the tree and hide it and put in the bucket. Looks like a washing bucket, so they don't know what it is. And hide under the bed and put some clothes on top, so they think it is some laundry clothes in it. And then go and hide and eat. Anyway, I don't encourage you to do this. Okay. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.